Write the world-changing book that will help grow your personal brand and your business as it makes the world a better place. Welcome to the Author's Corner, hosted by Robin Colucci. Every episode, we bring you some of the most successful authors, as well as other industry experts, to share some inspiration, motivation, tactical strategy, and fun. We'll also talk about the challenges and trends in the publishing industry. Don't get stuck in the idea phase. Join the Author's Corner today. Start writing the book you've dreamed about. Hello and welcome to the Author's Corner. I am your host, Robin Colucci. And if there's one thing that I have seen over my past few decades of working with authors and helping them with their books, it's what an important role that mindset and attitude have in the process, and how your mindset and attitude can either help you and catapult you towards writing a great book and finishing it, or on the flip side, mindset and attitude can really stymie your efforts and get in your way. And so it is with great pleasure that I introduce to you Daniel Mangena, who is a successful entrepreneur, best-selling author, and podcast host of Do It With Dan and Beyond Success. And he's also a life and business transformation coach and an international public speaker who is known for his programs and content that take his clients and students to the next level of living. He has helped thousands of people across the globe achieve wealth mastery and truly abundant lives. Daniel has been featured on CNN, CBS, Fox, The Jack Canfield Show, and in Forbes and Entrepreneur magazines. And his mission is to spread his teachings worldwide with the intention to spearhead an evolutionary uplift in universal consciousness by awakening people to the importance of their unique role and enabling them to manifest their dream life. So, if becoming an author is part of your picture of a dream life, then listen closely. So, Dan, welcome to the Author's Corner.
Well, thank you for having me in your corner, Robin. It's a pretty cool corner to be in.
It sure is. And it's even cooler now that you're here.
Oh, you're too sweet.
So, as I was thinking about our interview today, I got really excited about a couple of different avenues that I thought we could pursue. And the first, you have self-published several books, mm-hmm. and you've also built your coaching practice mm-hmm. to the point where I believe it was the Wall Street Journal had you on the list of the top 10 life coaches to watch.
That was, Wall Street Journal was a feature about Masters of Success. It was on Yahoo.
Yahoo. That explains. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Yahoo has you down as among the top 10 life coaches to watch. And when I first saw that, I thought, well, that's impressive. Let me look at the list. So I go and I look at the list and I see that the first name on the list is somebody that a lot of us have heard of, Tony Robbins. And I'm like, wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy is a real list. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So congratulations to you.
Thank you.
And I'd love to have you, and you know, you've self-published, what is it, three or four books, is it now?
Four books.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So four books. So I would love to hear how you have experienced utilizing your books, growing your brand and your business to the point mm-hmm. where you're on a list with Tony Robbins, which, and it's like people you should be working with, right? So, but you know, that's really quite mm-hmm. an accomplishment. And these are all self-published books. So I would really love to hear about this particular evolution. And like, are there any key moments or mm-hmm. things that you think that being an author have contributed to you getting to where you are?
Okay, well, thank you for that. And thank you for the kind words. The really interesting thing is I was actually offered the opportunity to go into a major publisher the end of last year.
Okay.
There were two avenues for that to happen. And my publicist, Blaine, was like, yo, dude, we can really make this happen. And it wasn't so much the fact that they take 85% of everything, but it was the fact that, and this particular publisher, who I won't name, they want like a 360 deal, like a record contract, like 360, like your speaking, your events,
your
everything.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They'll give you a platform, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, and also then you don't have the freedom to talk about what you want to talk about and the way that you want to talk about it. And for me, freedom is a really important principle. So I start there because I know a lot of people are chasing after the dream of a publisher, but you're still going to be doing all of the work. They might put some money behind you, but it's probably going to be the advance money that you got at the beginning. And we're in a world now where you don't have to wait for, quote unquote, the man to give you the leg up, because everything's so much more accessible. I joked about music industry. I had some friends in the music industry. I deviled. I've got a secret pseudonym. I've done vocals for a few of my friends for the past like, 15, 20 years. Now we've got Spotify. You can create your own platform. You don't need a record label.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not to say that there aren't benefits. I did consider, you know, maybe I will do the book and try and find a publisher that maybe might do a deal that's more aligned to me. Like if you want to do like an editorialist like the New York Times, regardless if you get the sales or not, they want you to be with the publisher. So there's certain things going on, but you have to be really clear about what your intentionality is with the book.
Yeah. And that's such an important point I just want to throw in, because not all publishers do what I call the IP grab, which is where they're like, we'll do the
give me all of it.
But we want the copyright to everything. It's actually atypical. And mm-hmm. I think I know which publisher you're probably talking about. But
yeah, we're offline.
But seriously, that's something that all authors who are contemplating a book deal, and you know, if you have an agent, they should catch that also. But yeah, it's an overreach to want a piece of everything.
It comes down to the intentionality. And at the end of the day, if I'm still going to be doing, and this is just me, guys, I'm not telling people what to do. I've spent the last 4 years building out my platform. We've got, you know, over 100,000 on social media. I've been really doing the PR thing. I do a lot of TV, a lot of radio, and so on and so forth. And I've been doing all of that work, and I'm still going to be the one doing all of that work. Then why not just do that work?
Yeah.
Right. And so that was my personal choice. But to speak to the books, I started my journey wanting to keep my old business, which I built up to doing, you know, £1.5 million a year, just me with some partners, but, you know, not with a payroll, but being called to come and share my experiences and to share my light in the world. It's like, okay, let me do the book. I'm going to get the book done and get that out, maybe do a podcast. And that was the plan. What man plans and God laughs, right? And then I end up being pulled deeper into the abyss. And as I came into it, it just so happened that there was more that I wanted to talk about and say in print.
Mm.
And so I used the medium of books to do that. I'm working on my next book now, which we want to put out next year. That may be my last major book for a while, because I'm planning to move more into the documentary space. We're doing a bit of that this year. But if you've got something to say in print, know what you want to say, know why you want to say it, and know how you want to communicate it out to people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Those are very important tenets. Mm-hmm. And so tell us some of the ways you've utilized your book to help bring awareness to your brand and your services.
Because of the ease of access with books now, a lot of people have got books. And so I would say the book itself, don't scrimp on putting together a quality product is what I'm saying, basically, right?
Amen. Because
just having a book nowadays isn't what it was 5 years ago.
Right.
It has to be a quality book that has something to say, that you get in front of the people that hear that you want to say it. So a big part of what I do is using, for example, paid ads, partnerships, relationships to get the book actually in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's having a quality product that allows that to happen. The book carries a message. All my books carry messages. They've got something in them that actually will inspire people and lead them to a course of action. And so getting that book in front of people who then are interested in reading it, read it and enjoy it, get to the end. We've had people that have come in, I want to work with you guys because I've read Dan's book. I've seen some changes and I'd like to take it to the next level. But if you've got a skinky dinky book that's not edited and got typos all over the place, people aren't going to buy into it. So I would say it's taking the book, getting it in front of people who can be supported and served by it, and then creating space through the book for them to actually take that conversation and the relationship further.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm gathering, but correct me if I'm wrong, that you're not necessarily seeing the ROI from the book sales, especially if you're paying for ads. So talk to us a little bit about this, because I just love having a real life person here who's living what I'm always talking about. So you have no idea how happy I am to have you here and just sharing your experience. So tell us a little bit about that, please, Dan.
Okay. So, you know, the Amazon platform to print our books. For the next book, there's some other options we're looking at for wider distribution. But for example, I was on a podcast earlier today. The host is like, oh my God, I love what you're saying. I'm going to buy your book. The book's $20. 70% of that might come back to me. I can't remember which plan I'm on with Amazon. We're not going to pay the bills. However, that's a podcast host who we've already built a relationship with through being on his show, to the point that he wanted to take the conversation further through my work. He's already said he wants to do a review if he likes the book and so on and so forth. Maybe he's going to create space for me to go and speak to his community, do a presentation to them, right? Maybe he'll want to become a client himself or refer me to someone who wants to become a client. So it becomes a calling card. But again, the calling card has to be of quality.
Yes. Right?
And it has to create space for that conversation to be continued. Books, you go and sell 100,000 books, if you can sell that many, maybe you're going to make a few tens of thousands, right? Mm-hmm. You go and sell 1,000 books to your ideal client.
Yes.
10% of those, 100 people come in and come right. and buy your high ticket coaching program.
Yeah.
Made $500,000.
Changes your life.
So I say, don't get caught up on the numbers. Mm-hmm. Focus on getting a quality product in front of quality people.
Yeah. I love hearing you say this, Dan, because one of my biggest pet peeves in this entire book coaching space mm-hmm. is when I hear people say, oh, you can just crank out a book because a book is just a big business card.
Yeah, a quality book is a business card.
A quality book is a
red flag.
Right. Anytime I talk about this, my question is always, so how many business cards have you taken to bed?
I like that one, Robin.
Right? It's not a business card. A book that's going to bring you clients, a substantive book that provides value. Mm-hmm. Business cards don't really provide value except your mm-hmm. contact information. A book provides value and is a portal to intimacy, maybe. Which is why we read them in bed. And it's also why the people call you after they read your book and say, I want to work with you, because mm-hmm. they've already made that heart connection with you through your book.
And again, that comes down to, what do you want to say? Have you got clarity of your mission, your vision, and the yes. words that you're going to share? And are you communicating them in a real way? I think all too often, if we just get woo-woo for a second, people lose mm-hmm. sight of the fact that someone will feel you before they hear you. They yes. will feel you before they even finish reading the book. They may not have spoken to you, but they feel you because the energy is being communicated. Mm-hmm. Your spirit is in that book and speaking to the person. You're sending parts of you out there into the world. And if there's a lack of clarity there, if there's discombobulation there, if there's a dark intention of, I'm just going to see how many things I can sell, people will feel that.
Absolutely. That's so true. I was just doing a VIP day with a client yesterday, and mm-hmm. we were looking at comparable books in his space. And we literally found a book that it was so clear. This guy, like, we turned to each other after looking through his book and we're like, this guy's a con man. I mean, is that what you want your audience? I think it probably is true in some of them, but you're right. We felt him.
And when people feel you, they'll share that book with others. Yeah. When people feel you, they'll share tidbits. They'll go and write the review. They'll go and do the rating, right? And that's how things spread. We've got, for my book, Money Again, we've got thousands and thousands of views on Goodreads and ratings and all the mm-hmm. things, because people have got the book and they've got result from it and they've wanted to share that mm-hmm. with others. And that's because the book was purely a service. That book's most of the time available for $1 somewhere in my ecosystem. I'm not going to make any money on that.
Right.
I literally don't make any money on that. But mm-hmm. it goes out into the world being the gift that I share with people. And I don't believe that God shortchanges. And I know that that's what leads to me having the success that does end up showing up.
Yeah, because I can tell, like, your intention of sharing the value that you want to share is there. Mm-hmm. You're coming from that space of true service, which really every author who, especially if you're writing a book to grow your business, that's really the space mm-hmm. to be in, which is beautiful. So let me ask you this other area I was curious about, because you are a life coach and you've gotten over yourself enough to write 4 books. So, because mm-hmm. there's a lot to mm-hmm. writing a book, it's a lot of work. So I'd love to take you back to your first book. Can you share with us a little bit about, like, what kind of resistance did you encounter?
My first book is actually my third book.
Oh, okay.
So Stepping Beyond Intention, which is this puppy, people won't see it, but you can see it. This one I was writing since about 2009, 2010, and it didn't get published until 2017. maybe 2018, something like that. And so what ended up happening is I caught myself going back and forth and dilly-dallying. And so my actual first book, which is called From Time to Time, I don't really speak about it that much, but it's a great book. People get a lot from it. But it was literally just me trying to pop my cherry and prove to myself that it wasn't such a big deal. And so I looked at what I had that could be of value to everyone. And I said, well, I'm going to give myself 30 days to get this done. What can I competently do in 30 days? And so I wrote a book about my time mastery strategy. It's called From Time to Time, From Time Management to Time Mastery. I got it done, got it out, boom. And then I got to feel the emotional sensation of, oh, wow, I'm an author. I'm a published author. I've got it out. I've got it done. Okay. Then I went and said, okay, what's something else that I can put value into the world? And so my second book, The Dreamer's Manifesto, looks at my catchphrase, dream with your eyes open, and breaks down what that means. And it's just an inspirational, motivational book. Very small. You can knock it out in an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. I did that. And I used that momentum to leverage into going and just getting my other book finished and done. Nobody came out and trolled me. Nothing got burnt down.
Oh, right.
I'm okay. I didn't die. Like, oh. And so I could take that emotional experience and then funnel it into the real book that I wanted to write, which is Stepping Beyond Intention. And then the money game we put out after that, because my money game, which is an actual game that I created, has been changing people's lives. We wanted to put it in a form that people could put in a book and put in their pocket and go and read. And so we did money game after that. And yeah, but that's been my journey with writing books.
That's interesting, because one of the things you just mentioned is the fears around. And I think that they often go unacknowledged. So tell us a little bit more about the fears that came up for you as you were trying to write that first book the first time. And
it's a real book. It tells real stories. Right? Mm-hmm. Places I've messed up. Speaks about my suicide ideation, which I hadn't spoken to my family about. All the things that have gone wrong for me, right? Darkest times of my life. I was caught in this thing of, I didn't feel ready to share those parts of myself yet. And I didn't want to do this book of disservice by not showing all of me in it. Mm-hmm. And so it was a journey of coming to the place of loving myself enough to know that it's okay to share these parts. And going into a deep enough commitment to sharing my message that I'm prepared to look parts that I'm not quite ready to share and see something bigger, a bigger purpose behind it, so that I could just go all in and share in that book.
That's beautiful. I do think that it's impossible to author a book and not have some concern about how it's going to land or what people are going to think. And maybe even your family, like if you're sharing things your own family doesn't even know about you. I mean, that takes guts.
I've got a lot of young nephews and nieces, and, you know, it impacts them. You're putting that out into the world, right? It impacts them too. And so I had all of these things going on, and I just had to get into an alignment with the bigness of the purpose behind this book so that I could set my I-ness aside and just step into it more fully.
Beautiful. And so did you find, like, with each subsequent book, did it feel easier, or did you get tripped up somewhere else on a different book?
Thankfully, my financial situation was very different by third book than it was when I was doing book number one. And so I could hire expert help. I could make sure that it was properly line edited. My book editor is Dr. Joe Dispenza's book editor, who went through and cleaned it up and made sure that the stories came out well. And it cost a lot of money to get that done. But investing that money, I think, has been part of the reason why it does get through to people a certain way. I have words to say, but there's a difference between writing a book and being a writer. There is a science and there's an art to that comes from school. And that's why, again, don't scrimp. Do as much of the process as you can, even if you get it to a certain point and you get someone just to do a part of the editing or just to put some eyes on it. Investing in your baby going out there into the world as a representative of you, I think, is imperative.
I agree. Even professional writers need editors, because human beings are not good judges of their own
of their own work. It's difficult to kill your babies, right?
Yeah. Well, and what I found is that when it comes to judging your own writing, people tend to either be too lenient or sometimes too harsh. Well, they'll be like, oh, this section is terrible. And I'm like, no, that's the best section on the page. You know? Yeah, I think it just is so important to get those new, fresh eyes on it. Someone who's not in your head, so they can't fill in all the blanks that you didn't write. You need someone to say, something's missing here.
I think there's something as well to just understanding where your strengths are. So I'm great off the cuff, freestyling it, winging it. That's when I'm actually in my zone of genius. I do like 3-day workshops with like 10 bullet points. You know? So, and so having that structure, which I worked with a specialist to get that structure of the messaging, right? So the 7 points that I want to communicate in this book and fleshing those points out and what they mean and what the bullets, that's what I'm doing right now for this next book. And then I've got content out there that speaks to each of those points. I'm just going to pay a professional to bring that all together coherently and just work with them to make sure that it's doing what I want it to do. And just finding, again, a professional, a competent professional can hear you speak and take that voice mm-hmm. and communicate it properly in print and take your words and communicate. So that's what we're doing for this next book project. We do have a bit more of a media machine behind us now. So we're intending to see if we can get a good listing on a half decent list. Again, I'm going to be self-publishing. We might go the hybrid route, maybe, just so we can maybe have a shot at a New York Times or whatever. But there are a lot of rules and regulations around that. Just, I mean, I'm not going to be doing another book for a while now. So just, we want to see if we can do something with it. But yeah, just investing in as much of the process as you can being led by professionals, even if it's just, hey, can I pay for a coaching session or a strategy session? You go off and do it yourself. Invest, invest, invest. I can't scream that loud enough.
Yeah, I think it's tricky because everybody, if you can write a letter or an email, I can write. So mm-hmm. I can write a letter. I can write a blog post. Why couldn't I write a book? But it is, it's its own animal.
Yeah, it's a different, very different relationship. Even down to like the difference between a blog and an article.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Because there is a difference between the two.
Sure.
And to we unwashed, unlearned, we might not see it, but there is a very clear difference between the two. I think it's important to be, again, I mean, some of the biggest challenges that showed up in my life have been from not being led by professionals, not seeking counsel, not being mentored and guided. And so I'm very, very big on that. So if people, like you're saying that again, it's because I've gone through the pain of what life looks like when you don't try and do that. Right. Yeah.
I think the best coaches are highly coachable because you know how to surrender to coaching. I don't know. I just think I found that the best coaches I've ever hired had great coaches that they really learned from deeply versus people who resist coaching, which can be
have fun
a lot of work for everybody.
Have fun with that one.
So tell us more about how you work with people in your life coaching and what kinds of people come to you for.
So I'm an abundance activator. That's what I really, really do. What I always invite people to do is I invite people to take a look at nature. I'm looking at the Sea of Cortez right now, looking at the trees, the beach just beyond them. There's no lack out there. Lack is a story that we humans hold. And so my journey is taking these books, these blogs, these articles, my podcast, coming to speaking with you, whether I'm on TV or radio or whatever, to give people a space to come back to that truth that abundance is yours. You don't have to hustle for it. You don't have to stress for it. You don't have to kill the competition for it. You don't have to burn out for it. It's yours and available. I have a signature program ecosystem called Micro to Millions that's got different levels that people can come in at and get different types of support. And what we have people in two different camps that we're trying to bring to the middle. We've got people that perhaps have got the money side of abundance dialed in, but their relationships are suffering, their health is suffering, they're burning out, they're not loving life. And we've got people that love their life, but they've not really got the financial resources to enjoy life on their own terms. And it's bringing them back both to the middle, where in that space, they can enjoy a fullness of life and do so abundantly, purposefully, and joyfully. And that's what I do every day.
That's wonderful. Now, are they in the same group together or are they in separate programs?
Well, this is the thing, because there's so many different levels in the ecosystem, you know.
Oh, I see.
So if someone got clients worth millions of dollars or whatever, they're not going to be coming in being in a group program with someone who's they're probably going to come and fly down to Cabo, spend a weekend with me, come to one of our retreats where there's like five or six people. Someone that's just trying to get their stuff together probably doesn't have 150 grand to come and invest over here. We've got work. I'm doing a workshop this week. You can get it for $50 and I'm going to pour into you. We cover all of that because I don't want money to be the thing that stops people being abundant.
Right.
And so we've got those different levels that people can come and play with us and just get the support that they need.
That's wonderful. I would imagine that a lot of your work is similar, at least in one aspect, to some of our work, which is like helping people get out of their own way. Can you say a little bit more about that and how that?
Yeah. I mean, when we look at, for people like, how many podcasts is he on today? I do all my podcasting in 1 week. It's one of the ways that I manage my time.
Right.
So I've got a week of the month where I'll do from noon till night. I'll finish at 8 o'clock today, just recording podcasts, me as a guest and having guests on my podcast. Okay. So, and we're speaking about, she asked the question, she says, I've got a challenging question I want to ask you. So, okay. She said, has your race ever gotten in the way of you being successful or stood in your way in any way? And I had to tell her no, because at the end of the day, things can only get in your way if you have an emotional response to it that allows it to get in your way. Right. Mm-hmm. And so whenever somebody says, is this going to block me? Is this going to stop me? Oh, I've got this thing that blocked me. I've got this shortfall. I've got this thing. I always remind them it's only if you give it that power. So I'm all about taking power back from these things, which is simply as easy as claiming the power that's already yours. And that's what I really invite people to do.
So why do you think people give that power away? And
because it's easier. It's easier. Right. If I can go through my life blaming my mum for my alcohol problem or blaming my dad for the fact that I'm with a different person every night and I don't feel whole and complete, then I don't have to deal with it. If I can blame the government for the fact that my business is deteriorating, or I can blame COVID, then I don't have to be responsible for it. It's just the easier path. This path that I'm inviting people to go, and this is why I'm not for everybody, right? Because the path that I'm inviting you to go down starts with radical responsibility, not blaming yourself, but accepting your divinely given power to choose, consciously or unconsciously, but still set that choice machine in action to create what you desire. That's something that everybody doesn't see, doesn't experience, doesn't get. But if you do accept that, there's magic available, magic waiting.
So true. I love that. And you're right, because when you point out there and say, this is why I don't have that,
then I don't have to deal with it.
You've given your power away. Yeah.
And the really funny thing is, Robin, is I think when people recognize that the unconscious mind, which isn't your enemy, it's your friend, it's just playing out whatever pattern it's been given, it just wants to keep things the same.
Yeah.
So when we're blaming other people, we're actually, the brain's just fulfilling its function of, if I blame that person, nothing's going to change. Okay, we're going to blame that person. Keep doing that. Right. And this is happening at a speed beyond. The unconscious mind moves at 10,000 to 10 million times the speed of the conscious mind. The pace with which it's going to be operating, you can't keep up with. And so when you do have the conscious awareness, oh, this is going on, I can blame the person or I can take responsibility, you give yourself the opportunity to break free of whatever patterns you're in right now and to go and experience something different.
And that desire to keep things the same, because the subconscious mind is really just trying to keep you alive. So what you did yesterday kept you alive. So we'll just do that again. Right? I mean,
Changes.
Not danger. Trying to hurt you or get in the way.
Danger. Danger. Danger.
Exactly. But that too can show up as imaginary reasons why you can't write your book, or why you can't finish your book, or why you can't figure out your outline, or why you can't hire somebody who's actually qualified to help you.
Because you're trying to keep things the same.
Right. It's all subconscious BS trying to keep you where you're at. Brilliant. So good. Love this. What have I not asked you about that I missed or you would just love to talk about?
Nothing jumps out at me. I think we've covered quite a few things, and I think we've given the audience something to noodle on. I hope this is okay, but we've already prepared a little resource page for the listeners of the audience. If they go to dreamwithdan.com/corner, we've got some resources there, including links to my books, links to the podcast, and some tidbits to help them on their journey towards abundance.
Well, thank you so much for providing those gifts to our listeners. I'm sure that they will enjoy them. I think I might go and check out myself. And it never hurts to get a little mindset vitamins. Well, Dan, I want to thank you so much for being with us here on the Author's Corner today and for sharing so generously.
Thank you. Thank you. It's my absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me on the show, and also the flexibility with our start time today. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. And thanks again.
Thank you for tuning in to another amazing episode of The Author's Corner. You're one step closer to writing the world-changing book you've dreamed about for years. To access today's show notes and other helpful resources, simply visit our website at theauthorscorner.com. A positive review would be appreciated. Until next time.